Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my awesome co-host, Tom Campbell. And we thought we'd mix it up just a little bit for today. Well, we'll see how it goes. But we thought, you know, we might lighten it up a little bit and talk about consciousness and streams of data in a way that's a little bit more fun. We've kind of had enough maybe with the stress and anxiety of everything that's going on. And I thought it might be nice to sort of just lighten it up, talk about some of the things that sort of help us grow up, but in a way that's more fun. We tend to take this journey that we're on very seriously, especially if things are going wrong, if there's financial problems or stuff. We get very anxious and stressed, and we tend to go on the fear side. So let's try and make this a little bit more playful and look at, you know, the ways we can grow up towards love in a way that is fun and playful and not serious and stressful. Because we've had enough of that for the last 7 months or so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a few more months of it. So let's find a little joy in the process, because that's really, you know, what we're working toward. As we get rid of that fear and we get rid of that ego and we get rid of those beliefs, we start replacing those and with joy and fun and, you know, happiness and good relationships. And that's really what it's all about, is getting rid of the fear, belief, and ego so that you can have more fun.
Right.
So that life is enjoyable. Life is good, even in a, you know, even in a situation that's full of high tension and aggravation and negativity.
Right.
So, you know, I've heard some people say that, you know, if you're not angry, then you just don't understand, you know, or if you're not angry, then you just don't give a damn.
Right.
That you should be angry, that, you know, if there's just so much going on that you should be angry. But that's not the case. You should not be angry. You should be having fun. And even in a world that's full of stress, in a world that's full of, you know, greediness and people taking advantage of each other, full of wars and violence, even in a world like that, your life, your personal life, should still be full of joy and happiness and positiveness, you know, positive things. So it's not like, well, the world sucks and everything is so ugly out there that, you know, I'm depressed. You choose to be depressed. Again, we take responsibility for how we feel. There's no reason that you can't feel positive and happy, even in a world that is very violent and very, high stress. It's just a matter of how you interpret things, how you see things. You know, is the glass half empty or is it half full? You know, it depends on how you see things. So if you are doing the best you can and making the best choices you can make, and you are giving and caring, then you will find you live in a happy place. You live in a place of joy. So it's not this environment is so awful that I can't help but be depressed. No, you're depressed because of the choices that you make. You're depressed in the way you interpret things. So it's not so much that if you get rid of fear, suddenly everybody's nice to you, or suddenly, you know, all of your relationships start to become, better despite you. It's because when you get rid of fear, you stop interpreting things negatively. That's, you know, so your life becomes a lot more positive because of the way you interpret things.
Right.
That's the key. So it's just your own change of perception, your own perspective. When that changes, everything else changes. You don't have to be angry at this world being so difficult and being so mean-spirited sometimes. You are doing positive things. Your mind is positive. You care about other people, which means your relationships will be good. Your relationships are only not good because you care mostly about yourself, you see. When you start caring about other people, then relationships get a whole lot better too. So once your relationships are good and you start seeing things positively, then you're happy. So even in times like these, you still should have a positive life. It should still be good because you're doing the best you can to make good choices, and you know you're growing. You know that you're learning. You're getting rid of fear, and that makes you feel good. So life is just good. Yeah, that's where we should be. So it doesn't depend on us living in circumstances where we're well-to-do and therefore we don't have any financial stress and we live in a place where everybody's nice to us and everybody's intelligent and everybody agrees with us. You know, that's what intelligent, that's how you define intelligence. You know, everybody's intelligent if they agree with you.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's not that we need that perfect environment, you know, where the boss likes us and gives us a raise and, you know, all our family members are all smiling and happy and the children are all smiling and happy. It's not that environment makes you happy. It's that you create that environment when you stop being negative. And when you start interpreting things in positive ways and making better choices. So you create that happy world for yourself, even in the midst of dysfunction. There's dysfunction all around you. But that's okay. You can accept that because, you know, that's just the way people are. And everybody's doing the best they can with what they've got. They all have to learn. You can't force anybody to change or learn, so you have to let them be how they are and change. So now all that negativity just doesn't rub off on you. You're not angry at those people. You accept them. That's the way they are, and they have to grow up in their own way, in their own time. So you can help them by being nice to them, you know, because if you're not nice to them, if you're angry with them, then that doesn't help them grow up. That keeps them from growing up. So it's attitudinal. Happiness is a way of looking at the world. Happiness is a way of processing reality. We do make our own reality. And it's not that we are great magicians that suddenly make everybody in our reality, you know, nicer to us and therefore we feel better. It's that we feel better because we stop making requirements on other people to be the way we want them to be. We let them be who they are, and we try to be helpful to them. We try to educate or encourage them toward growing up, but if they're not ready, we let them go, and we still like them. We still give them hugs. We still smile at them because we know they're struggling, and we have a lot of empathy, and we have a lot of care for them in their struggle and in their pain and in their sense of unhappiness and despair that a lot of people live in those very negative spaces. And you need to be compassionate because here you are happy and living a life of joy and everything's good. And you see these unhappy, struggling people and you can't help but have compassion for them. But instead of compassion, if you feel angry for them, you know, you're angry at them because those are the people screwing it up for everybody else. You know, those negative, nasty people. Now you're one of them because now you're negative and you're upset and you're angry. So you've just joined the ranks of those people that you don't like. And it's not impossible to be happy and find joy in an environment that is basically negative and maybe even unfriendly. It's okay. You can do that. That's not impossible. All you have to do is change yourself. If you change yourself, then you can find happiness anywhere. So that's kind of a key thing. So yeah, let's look on the light side or on the brighter side here, you know, and realize that most of the stress and angst and tension that we feel is self-created. That's the reality we create for ourselves because of our fear. So yeah, let's all lighten up. Do some things that are fun. Yeah, there's a lot of fun things you can do, you know. Yeah, read a good book. That's fun. You know, get down and really play with your children rather than just telling them to be quiet and sit down and not make more work for you. You know, get down and make some mess with them, you know. Start building things out of Legos and not instructing them in how to do it, but just play. Just enjoy being with other people. You know, there's a lot of fun to be had that we don't look at. We tend to focus on the negative. Right. The negative captures our attention. Oh, something awful happened. Oh, let's look at that. You know, we'll put that in the news and that'll stay in headlines for a week or 2 weeks because something horrible happened. But we focus on the negative and we need to stop focusing on the negative. Turn off the news. That's one way to brighten up your day is turn off that news. Turn off that TV. You know, don't look at those sitcoms where people are making fun of each other and putting each other down. You know, don't go there. Do things that are uplifting. Go, you know, look at the History Channel or go do some fine arts things, you know, listen to some classical music or some rock music, whatever you like, but enjoy your time. And usually that enjoyment isn't by yourself. It's usually with other people because we're very social animals. So enjoy with your family. What could the family do? What might be fun? You know, one of the things that Pamela did with our extended family, because we have family kind of all over, you know, and particularly with the COVID, you know, we can't visit and hug and do all the kinds of things we used to do. So we have meetings every once in a while on Zoom, and the whole family gets together from wherever they are, all over the place. And we have fun. We play games with the children. And, you know, we talk about what's going on in our lives. And it doesn't take a long time. We have about an hour or hour and a half. But the last one we did, we had a lot of little games that we played with the kids. And, you know, go out and find something round, you know. And the kids all run off to find something round and see who comes back first, you know, with a round thing. Just those kinds of games, you know, just little games that are fun for children. So you can do things now, even now, when you can't go out and be as social as you were. You can still be social online.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference. So look for things that are fun to do. You know, I said read a book, but that doesn't mean you go off on yourself and tell all the rest of the people in your family to be quiet because you're reading now. pick a book that everybody would like, including your kids, and read aloud. Take turns reading aloud. You know, that's good for your children. Let them take part of the turns too. You know, get something that's at their level and sit down and read it. And if it's too hard for them to read or they're too young, then you read to them. And that's a really fun thing to do for a family, to all read a fun book together. And it's easy to do. It doesn't, you know, it's not expensive. It doesn't take a lot. You just, you know, you can buy books online. You don't even have to go out of your house. So, you know, read a book, have a discussion. You know, one of the things that Pamela and I do the last couple of days is there's this thing online. It's called Girl Travel. I'm not sure why. They also have a symbol that looks like a Girl Scout symbol. So I think the girl must have come from some girl organization or something. But this woman has organized tours all over the world. Nice. And she has guides that come in from various places and give guided tours. So it's about once a week. Week before last, we were in New Zealand, and we saw the North, both, and South Island, you know, and she gives tours. Of course, she has slides and films and, you know, all those things. Plus, she tells us about it. She was a professional tour guide. Well, professional tour guides don't have much to do these days because tours mean a bunch of people all standing very close to each other. And so the tour guides have gotten together and give virtual tours now. And this lady kind of organized a bunch of tour guides. And last week we were in Germany through Bavaria. And there was a guy there who was extremely fluent in German, of course, giving the tour, but he also was very fluent in English.
Nice.
And so there's things like that you can do that are fun, as you can get the whole family in. And she has a long list of places that we're going to go, that she's already set up tour guides to to give tours in these places. And it's a very fun way to spend an hour and a half, you know, doing something. So, yeah, find things that your whole family can get interested in and just have fun doing things like that. You know, the ladies often go shopping. Well, that's hard because stores, you know, if they get crowded, that's not it's a good place to be. But you can go shopping online. But not just you by yourself. Bring one of your children or somebody else to sit down with you and go shopping together for something fun. Maybe for the kids, it could be a new video game or, you know, something else that they would be interested in. Maybe a new toy, a new science project or something that they could do. And you can spend hours with an 8-year-old sitting next to you going through stuff that you could buy. And not that you're going to spend a lot of money, but you could spend 2 or 3 hours over several days, you know, just looking at all the things that are possible with the idea, we're going to look at a lot of things and then I'll let you pick just one of them, you know, that sort of thing. Just one of them for maybe $50 or less or whatever, you know, it depends. Or maybe we'll just, when Christmas comes, you know, you can tell me the top 10 things you like. And then when Christmas comes, you know, we'll see about trying to get those things, that kind of thing. And spend some time just shopping with your children or whatever, you know, it's just things you can do. So I think you need to be creative to find games. You know, there's lots of games that children like, you know, what am I thinking of? Where you pick an object, you know, it's like the old 20 questions that was on TV, you know, and you know, is it bigger than a bread basket? Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral? You know, and you keep guessing down to see until you actually pick up the object. So lots of things families can do that we don't do because everybody's busy doing their own thing for them. And if we are very inclusive with the things we choose to do, that we can get by these times and still have fun, still enjoy. Matter of fact, it builds relationships that way. You and your kids will like each other a lot better if you do things together like that. You know, it's not that hard to come up with interesting things that you can do with your family, even things you can build, you know, little crafts that you can do. Depending on the age of your children, you know, they can make things and you can kind of guide them in their making things. You know, what do Girl Scouts do when girls are in Girl Scouts? What do Cub Scouts do, you know, when boys are that age? Well, they make crafts, they do all kinds of little things. Well, you don't have to be in Cub Scouts to do it. You can do that at home. You know, those little make a pair of moccasins kit, you know, You can buy those, you know, they're not very expensive, and you can sit around and do handicraft sort of things with your family rather than just watch TV, watch the news. You know, get those comedies, which are mostly kind of black humor, you know, people calling each other names, people making fun of each other sort of thing. And that's not very healthy anyway. Or it's, you know, violence or some other kind of thing. Well, let all that stuff go. Turn off the TV and do something else that builds family. You know, it's putting money in the bank as far as, you know, human values go. Because you're doing things together. That would be one suggestion of how to find some happiness and how to find some fun. Even if the environment doesn't seem to be much fun anymore, you can do that. You know, and if it's just adults and you don't have kids, well, do things with your friends, but do them online. Have you and 10 or 15 of your friends all meet on Zoom, go online and, you know, take turns telling jokes, you know, anything, you know, just chatting like you would if you were at somebody's house or, you know, somebody's place for a party. Well, have the party online. You don't have to have 20 people in your house to have a good time. You can have 20, 30, 40 people if you got that many friends, you know, all online together and just having fun, sharing your own experiences with them and theirs with you. You know, it's little things like that. Use the online to connect with people. It's there, and Zoom is easy. It's free. And it's fun. It's fun. It's amazing. You can do a lot of the same things that you would do if you were together, you know, online. So yeah, it's not the same, but it's better than sit around feeling sorry for yourself. You know, oh, wow. Oh, there's nothing to do. It's so boring. This is so awful. And if you get into that negative mode, then pretty soon you're miserable. And then after miserable comes depressed. After depressed, you know, comes, I guess, deeper depression, maybe psychosis. You know, so you don't want to go there. So what, do you have any suggestions or thoughts about things to do?
As I think of, you know, happiness and what you talked about at the beginning and how it's really a state of mind. And of course, it comes from within. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things. I mean, obviously, with regards to consciousness and meditation and maybe some guided meditation and maybe some remote viewing or healing. We teach that. You teach that in your workshops and things. There's so many things that we can do. It's like we forget, though. We get caught up so much in whether we're angry or in denial or think that there's this huge conspiracy, which I really find fascinating. But we just get so caught up in that we forget that we're supposed to be, you know, human beings being and not, you know, trying to do all this, because we're still trying to control everything. We're still trying to make, you know, someone pay for whatever it is that we're doing and whatever's happening. And we're so focused on, as you say, the negative and how to stay unhappy that we forget that there's so many things that can be playful and fun. I mean, I agree that some of the sitcoms out there can be a little dark, but I think as long as we're laughing, and even that, you know, we need to find things to make us laugh, to make us, because laughing is so healing, and we get kind of caught up in all of the other stuff that we forget. We just keep forgetting that, you know, and it's so easy, but yet we keep forgetting. We keep getting caught up in this busy world that can make us busy, stressed, and anxious. Instead, we can also be grateful and choose our own happiness and find things that we can do that are fun. And there's lots of things that we can do that are fun. There's lots of different games and different ways that will improve our inner beings. And yet, you know, there's so many different things out there now. There's so many types of games and devices that can assist us in knowing where we're at. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of like HeartMath, where you can put like a monitor on you and you can watch while you do meditation, mm-hmm. and watch while you do different things, and what it does to your stress levels and to your resting heart rate. It's all really interesting. There's so many things we can do, and we just keep forgetting. we keep cutting up.
Yeah, we so much embrace the negative, and everything negative becomes very important to us, and we just let the positive stuff sit on the floor. We don't pick it up. We don't use it. We don't do it. We just stay focused on what's negative, and we wallow in it. You know, we not only just look at it, but we wallow in it, and we go over and over in our minds until we work ourselves up into anger and into being upset and into being annoyed. And you're right. There are positive things there. You just need to change your focus and see things differently. Accept all that negative stuff and say, yeah, okay, that negative stuff is there. It's not that you pretend it's not there. You accept it and say, okay, it's there. I can't change it. It's just there. Well, then you accept it. That doesn't mean you like it. It just means you let it be. You let it be what it is, and you don't let it affect you, and you don't spend all your time worrying about it or fussing over it or bemoaning the fact that it's there or angry and shaking your fist at the dumb people that are, you know, on the opposite side of things that you are on. And you leave it alone and say, okay, it's there, but I'm here and I'm going to have some fun and I'm going to learn. And yeah, I was talking about families with maybe young children and things they could do, but if you've got much older children or if you don't have children, there's still a lot of things you can do. And some of them are great that you mentioned. You can start working on yourself. You can start working on getting rid of those fears. You can teach yourself how to meditate. It's not all that hard. You don't need any special, you don't need an instructor. You just sit quietly and let, you know, have no thoughts in your head. And when thoughts come, you just put them away. That's all. It's just a simple thing to do. You learn to meditate and you can learn to use your mind to heal. You can practice remote viewing. You know, that's easy to do. You just Google remote viewing targets. And you'll find a dozen websites that are free that will give you remote viewing targets. That means you'll go there and you'll get a number. And that number will be randomly selected for you. And that number has a picture associated with it. And you do the remote viewing of that picture. And you write down things about it. What does it look like? And what are the elements of it? And is it happy? Is it sad? Is it big? Is it small? Is it this? Is it that? And you write all the stuff down, all the things about it. What does it smell like? What does it sound like? And go through as many of those little questions as you can to identify it. And try not to let your intellect guess, because guessing will always be wrong. You can't guess these things. The pictures are very unique and they're impossible to guess. So you just stop that intellect from trying to guess the answer and try to do it intuitively. And you'll find that, amazingly enough, you'll get some of those pictures right on. And then if you keep practicing, you'll feel the difference, and the difference in an approach of when you get them right on and when you don't get them at all. And you say, oh, I'm sort of in this mood and in this mindset when I get them. And then you can start getting better at it and better at it. And as you go, you know, you can probably, with, you know, a few months of practice, get yourself up into the 75-80% right category, you know, which is really high. You know, that's good. You can practice getting data out of databases, you know, looking at your own health aura to see how healthy you are, where your issues are, how grandma's doing. You can just do lots of things like that. Learn to communicate with people telepathically. Mm. I mean, these are all fun things to do, and they're available to people who are conscious, you know, and you can communicate with your dog and with your cat, as well as, you know, with, you know, your friends that you haven't seen for years. And you can pick things that are evidential about it, so that then you can maybe call one of those friends up and say, oh, I just saw you doing such and such. Or are you wearing a pink dress right now? You know, and call them up and see if they are, because that's the way you saw them. That's fun. And you'll find that there's certain ways that your mind is, certain states that your consciousness is in, when you get them right. And you just encourage that state and try doing it that way more. And you'll find that there's certain ways that your consciousness is when you always get it wrong. And then you try to avoid those. That's mostly your intellect is in there guessing. So yes, there's lots of things you can do. And if you need more guidance on how to go about doing it, you know, I've give courses like this. And the last one I did at the Monroe Institute, I videoed all of it, and it's up on the web. So if you'd like to hear me give you instructions about how to do all of those things, you just go to my YouTube channel, and I guess you'd do the search for TMI, and you'll find a couple of them up on TMI. But take the latest one. I think it was last November, just about a year ago. I was up there and I videoed the entire thing, including all the interaction. So you can take the entire course if you like that way, because I use binaural beats, but all those binaural beats are available at MBT events, www.mbtevents.com. So you can go there and for $20, you can buy all those binaural beats, play them, follow along with the instructions. And when I say, okay, go listen to a tape or go listen to your binaural beats, you can go listen to them at your house. You know, so you can take the whole course if you want and learn how to do these things. You know, and it's not that, you know, the paranormal things are not that important by themselves. You can grow up without ever doing a paranormal thing. But in order to do them well, you have to let go of fear. You have to be able to develop your intuitive side, not just your intellectual side, and learning how to live and act and gather information in that intuitive side at the being level, as opposed to the intellectual level. Well, that's a skill that you'll find profitable in all aspects of your life. That gives you a bigger decision space. It gives you much more information than people who just depend on intellect. In other words, they just get normal information out of the physical world. You can get that. Plus, you can get a lot of paranormal information out of the intuitive space at the same time. And with practice, that information that's intuitive can be just as accurate and just as reliable as the information you gather with your intellect and senses. It's just as good. It's just that most people have spent, I don't know, a lifetime almost, starting with kindergarten, right? A whole lifetime trying to hone and develop and refine their intellect. That's what we do. That's what school is all about. Well, we spend almost zero time trying to hone and you know, improve and learn about our intuitive side. Matter of fact, a lot of people will say, what intuitive side? You mean guessing, you know, gut guesses? No, that's maybe a little bit of it, but that's really not it. That works occasionally, but probably fails as much as it works, because it's still the intellect butting in and doing a lot of the guessing. So, you know, you can develop that intuitive side to where it's very reliable. You can depend on it. Gives you right answers when you need them, when you want. And here, if we're in a situation where we seem to find a lot of time on our hands because we're not going out doing the social things, we're not sitting in movie theaters, we're not going, you know, to parties, we're not doing the things that we used to do with our time, well, why not improve yourself? Why not learn how to do paranormal things? And again, doing paranormal things by itself is neither here nor there. It's not important. But by doing them and learning how to do them, it will help you grow up, because you can only get good at them as you get rid of your fear, get rid of your ego, get rid of your beliefs. That fear, ego, and belief will keep you from doing them very well, because you can't, you have a hard time keeping that intuitive state, you know, solid and focused if you have fear and ego and beliefs. So that's, it's a learning tool for growing up. It's not a necessary tool, you know, it's not a necessary thing for anybody, but it's fun. And it's fun. You can do that with other people, you know, let them find candidates for healing from people they know, and you heal them, and then they can tell you whether those people got well or not, and you do the same for them. So it's things that you can do in a group. Groups can get together and take their intents. Once you learn a little bit about it, you can get a group together and have your intents to change things at a bigger scale. You know, like the Maharishi, I don't know, it was Maharishi Project or something like that. They had like 1,000 people got together to try to modify the crime statistics in Washington, D.C., which was at the time one of the high crime cities. And they very significantly lowered that crime statistic. There were less murders, there were less break-ins, and they went significantly down. You know, when I say significant, I mean statistically significant. And then they stopped doing it, and it would go back up, and then they'd start doing it, it would go back down, and they did that enough times that they were clearly having an effect. Matter of fact, if you Google healing circles, just a name, I don't think many of them actually form circles, but it's a group of people who use their intents to focus on things like world peace, food and clean water for everybody, everybody just feeling more positive, just putting positive vibe out there. And that is effective. It helps. You know, it makes you part of the solution rather than part of the problem. As you sit home and are upset and annoyed and aggravated about the people who are on, you know, who disagree with you, then, you know, you're part of the problem. When you lighten up, find some joy, find some happiness, embrace the positive, ignore the negative, better yourself, get rid of fear, well, now you're part of the solution. So I'd say that's really the goal that people should have now, when they have their life is kind of changed. They've been kicked out of that old rut that they were in, the things they were doing and the way they did it. Well, take advantage of that. You've been booted out of your nice, comfortable rut, and now you have to find new ways of interacting, new ways of doing things. Well, make that a challenge and make it positive and grow up some. Lower your entropy, you know, learn to meditate, learn to heal with your mind, learn to do these things. It's not that hard. Everybody can do it with a little practice. It's not so hard at all. Most people don't do it, can't do it, because they believe they can't. It's a belief. And if you believe you can't, then your intellect will always hang out in the negative. I know this won't work. This is stupid. This couldn't possibly work. And if that's your intention, then whatever you intend is what you tend to create. So it won't work. So it's just a matter of practice. Things you can do at home while you have the time to be at home. Once all of this goes away, well, we won't go back to exactly the same, but we'll go back to being more distracted and outside running around doing more distracted things, because that's just the way we are. We tend to keep ourselves busy to the max and distracted to the max, because that keeps us from having to go inside and deal with ourselves. That's one reason why we stay so busy and stay so distracted, is it prevents us from actually knowing who we are, going inside. Who am I? And what am I? And how am I? You know, how can I change? Am I really a good person? Am I growing? Am I evolving or de-evolving? That kind of introspection tends to frighten a lot of people. They don't want to go there because they have a sense that there's negative stuff in there and they just assume not hear it. So they avoid all of that. That's why people put their TV on and just let it run, even when nobody's watching it. It's just to keep from having to meet themselves in a calm, quiet place. They can avoid that by staying busy. So, well, now we're not so busy as we were. We're not the busy little bees, you know, flying around from thing to thing, trying to keep our mind off of our trouble. Let's focus on that trouble and see if there's something we can do about it. Let's focus on those problems of who we are and what we are and see if we can't change that instead of avoiding it with busyness and television and, you know, social events and going out. And, well, going out, we don't do so much anymore. So now that we're here, let's use it. Use it for something productive. And if what we use it for is to sit around and feel miserable, then that's making everything worse. You only feel miserable because you choose to feel miserable. Choose something else. Let the miserable things go. If you can change them, well, of course, change them. But most of the things that make you feel miserable are things you can't change. Otherwise, you would have already changed them. So when you find things that you can't change, then let them be. Don't sit around and fret and moan about it, about how awful things are, because they're not the way you want them to be. That's all self-focused. Just let them be however they are and let that be okay. Be okay with that. No, it's not optimal, but it's the way it is. We don't live in an optimal society full of optimal people. We live in a society that is very broken and very damaged and very dysfunctional. But you have to say that's the way we are and have compassion for the people who are struggling and go have fun. So, yeah, try to make this time a learning time, a growing time, a fun time, time to be together with family and search for the positive. And if you can't find much positive, create some. Right. Create some positive. Do something together. Yeah, like I say, read books to each other. Because that way it's not just you are off on this story, this adventure of whatever it is in that book, but you and other people are. And then you discuss it and you talk about it. But what you think's going to happen next and how did, you know, why the people in the book are making the choices they're making and how is that affecting their lives? And is the choices that they're making, is that part of their solution or is it part of their problem? And why are they making those choices? You see, look at the characters, just like you should be looking at yourself. Well, it's easier to talk about somebody else, but as you talk about somebody else, particularly if you're all reading the same book, you just can't imagine how much light that can shed on yourself,
right?
You know, while you're talking about somebody else. But if it's just you reading it, then it's just you don't do that. You just read it, you go through it, and you get the story, and it's done. But make it a social thing. And
I like that.
You know, that would, talk about those characters and why those things keep happening to them, you know, the way they do, and so on. That's good. And it's good to hear the different ways that other people see it, because everybody in your group isn't going to see it your way. And you'll start seeing that other people live in different realities than you do and see things different ways. And just that can help you grow up. So interact with people. You don't have to go find a hole and, you know, crawl in it and, you know, pull in a lid over top of you and wait for it all to go away. Be social, connect, have fun, learn. There's lots of opportunity here. You just have to reach out and grab it and actualize the potential that's just hanging. It's a blessing to get kicked out of your rut sometimes.
Definitely.
To help change things up. So